So today, our children and the choir sang Hosanna while waving palm branches in the air, and you all saw it. Because today is Palm Sunday, after all, and we are remembering that on the very first Palm Sunday, nearly 2,000 years ago, Jerusalem's hospitable citizens tried to crown Jesus, and they tried to make Jesus their new king. And Jesus accepted the honor, more or less, sort of, on his own terms. However, instead of riding on a war horse to Pilate's palace to demand Pilate's surrender and to throw the occupying Roman army out, Jesus rode an ass to the temple instead. King Jesus looked around the temple and left, went home. So from the very beginning, King Jesus was a disappointment. He was a bit of a joke. He was fake news. 5 days later, on Good Friday, this same Jesus is hanging from a cross wearing a crown of thorns as the punchline. And a sign above Jesus' head, put there by the Romans, riffs on what is by now a very tired old joke with respect to Jesus. The sign above Jesus' head says, King of the Jews. Very funny. Tell us another one. Nevertheless, a crowd gathers around Jesus' wooden throne, and Jesus, King Jesus, holds court, and see who comes. Two courtiers, renowned crooks, are at Jesus' sides, one on the left, one on the right. One despises King Jesus, and the other feels sorry for King Jesus. But both of them, hamstrung, can do nothing for their king now, but hang on to his every word. See who comes before Jesus' throne. Soldiers who refuse to pledge him allegiance. As the king bleeds, they drink and laugh and play at his feet. The soldiers, they believe in Lord Caesar. They believe in rape and pillage. They believe in enemy occupation and violence. The soldiers, they are not interested in the sacrificial grammar of nails and thorns. See who comes before Jesus' throne. The whole religious establishment, presbytery, council, conference, all the chief poobahs and preachers, interpreters of canon law, promulgators of church regulations, they're all there, and they are pleased to stand at Jesus' feet by his throne. You see, the tables that once belonged to the thieves in the temple, those tables have been restored so temple services can once again proceed on schedule. The religious establishment, they do not pray for Jesus' kingdom to come, but they are praying for the status quo. See who comes before Jesus' throne. Surprise. Some women. Mary and Mary and Salome and other rich women who made up Jesus' royal court come before his throne. Luke says of these women in another place, Luke says, Jesus traveled about from one village to another, and the 12 disciples were with him, and also some women who had been cured of evil spirits and diseases. Mary, called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had come out. Joanna, the wife of Cusa, who was the manager of Herod's King Herod's household, Susanna, and many other women. Luke goes on to say, these women were helping to support Jesus and his disciple out of their means. On Good Friday, at Jesus' royal feet, these rich women, the only disciples not to abandon Jesus, are learning there are some things money can't buy. Well, and look who does not come before Jesus' throne. Those that sat at his right hand and left hand at a supper before Palm Sunday, Jesus' disciples, or at least most of them, they're nowhere to be seen on Good Friday. At that mealtime, each of these disciples had harbored secret hopes. Peter wanted to be the press secretary. James wanted to be the chief of staff. Judas wanted to be the secretary of the treasury. But after the arrest, like a crowd after a parade, the disciples were swallowed up by the city and no one saw them anymore. Well, at least now King Jesus knew who his real friends were. How strange. You know, King Jesus' kingdom, King Jesus' realm is an upside-down kingdom where crooks become courtiers, where soldiers and priests who do not know what they do, says Luke, are nevertheless forgiven by Jesus on the cross, where cowardly disciples who despise and reject and flee from Jesus are promoted a week later to apostleship. It's an upside-down kingdom where Jesus is, where women are the only last action heroes, though all they can do that is heroic is weep. And that's how it is with Jesus. King of an upside-down realm where, as the Apostle Paul would later describe it, we proclaim Jesus Christ crucified, a stumbling block for the Jews and foolishness to the Greeks. But for us, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. For, says Paul, God's foolishness is wiser than human wisdom, and God's weakness is stronger than human strength. Today's Palm Sunday, but Friday is coming. And when we think about who gathered around that cross, this morning I want to say, if there is a lesson to be taken from this, it is at a minimum this. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter if you're a soldier or a disciple, or a priest, or a woman. It doesn't matter whether you're a Ford supporter or drive a Chevy. It doesn't matter whether you're a Jew or a Gentile. It doesn't matter whether you're gay or trans or straight. It doesn't matter whether you are living with your lover or headed for a monastery. It doesn't matter whether you are proud of your accomplishments or embarrassed by the lack of your accomplishments. It doesn't matter whether you are a blue blood or an economic migrant. It doesn't matter whether you are young or old, rich or poor, black or pink, struggling with secrets you hardly dare face that you've locked away in some cabinet deep in your heart. Or whether you're struggling with health that is in decline. Whoever you are, the message of the gospel and the message at our communion table today, the message is that you are welcome to come to Jesus. You are welcome to have the last laugh at the bad joke of his kingship. You are welcome to join us as we honor the one who showed us that in his kingdom, really, here, all are welcome. All are welcome and beloved, we practice hospitality. Amen.